You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike Exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall President and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
Welcome, show number 163. My goodness.
Wow.
They just keep multiplying.
It's almost
like
200.
Well, good math, Steve. how many cars in inventory as of today?
I'm going to say 980.
972.
Oh, you guys, 984.
Ooh.
I know, winner. So close. Winner?
Yeah,
close.
Without going over.
Yeah, the guy who always bid a dollar under the Price is Right. Oh, my God. I was right on the money.
Yep.
Then I wasn't on the money. Anyway, welcome to the show. Thanks to the Pat Travers Band for their wonderful theme music. You know, we should make sure that they're still touring and check out their touring and promote them for allowing us to do
Sure, this. Absolutely.
So, coming up in the show.
There you go. I like that. So we have a wonderful guest today, so we're not going to dilly-dally here.
Right.
My mother used to say that, dilly-dally. I don't know what it meant, where it came from. But anyway, welcome to the show, Justin Bell, who is joining us from the West Coast, I'm guessing, this morning.
You are very welcome, and yes, I am. And dilly dally, God, everyone in my family said dilly dally. It's one of those words that I don't even think you can trace an origin to.
Right.
You know, it was some old lady somewhere that went, you know, to their grandson. You stop dilly dallying.
Yeah.
You know, raining cats and dogs.
Yeah.
That's because they used to fall out of the thatched roofs.
Oh, that's,
you know,
right.
Don't cross the threshold, because that's where it's. They all meant something.
The graveyard shift, which meant that the guy who sat out in the graveyard and listened for the bells were the people that had the strings that ran to the grave in case I'm really not dead yet. So
I think dilly dally may be the low end of any cultural significance.
I think so. My grandmother used to say that people, if they were a little different, she'd say they have the peculiars. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a Southern thing, though. Anyway, welcome to the show, Justin. Thanks for being on. We met in Greenwich a few years ago. I now am one heavier on the watch department because of you. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
I like that.
I like that tag. That's a really cool thing. And they only had one down at King of Prussia Mall here, which is our big mall around here. So I said, well, you know, if you've only got one, I better go ahead and get it because, you know, once in a lifetime, right?
It is that chronograph you've got on. It's very nice.
I know. I really like it. So it's, thanks for that. Appreciate it. And, welcome. We've got, you know, I was reading some stuff about you and it was interesting that you never did go-karting or karting, as they call it, in England. You got started as a racing career, without doing karting. That's unusual, isn't it?
It is. Consequently, why I probably don't have a private jet, and 10 Winston Cup or Formula One championships. No, I God, that dated me, Winston Cup. You know what I mean?
Camel GT, right?
Camel GT or whatever. No, you know, it was interesting because I had a dad that was obviously current at the time, very active in racing. I mean, that was at the height of his career when I was sort of trying to start my end of the '80s. But all the way through my teenage years, we lived in the south of England on a farm. So there wasn't really any. There was karting around, but we didn't know it. It wasn't in our sphere.
Sure.
There was nothing. And we lived a pretty rural life, actually, and which was a bit of a duality to Dad's racing, you know, career. You know, he's all fancy and flashy. And the rest of the time, we lived on the edge of the farm. But I did motocross. And because we had we had the farm and some team like owed him some money or something. So he got a Kawasaki 90 and my mum and my sister had horses and a stable and they would be like, I'd try and ride horses and I got thrown off. I thought they were, you know, you had to clean them and everything.
Right.
Along came this motorbike, which didn't require anything other than gasoline. And I would ride off all around it wasn't a trail bike or anything, but it was, you know, I'd ride it on the roads and on the paths.
Sure.
And I thought, well, this is the way to go because I don't have to shovel the crap out of the stable anymore.
Right.
And then I got a little secondhand motocross bike, and then I'm doing all the local stuff. And we had my family friends, the Penfolds, they used to take me to the races. His son did it as well. So it sort of became a thing that we all did.
Sure.
And Dad did enduros and things. So I credit it with a lot of good traction control, you know, as in right. I'm very sensitive to traction. I think when you race motorbikes or motocross, you're very good on traction, you know. Right. In those bad conditions sometimes, but the problem was, didn't really prepare me for the early phases of a racing career.
Sure.
When I lined up on the grid in my first year of Vauxhall Lotus, the other two guys on the grid next to me were Mika Häkkinen and Alan McNeish, had done, let's just say, a couple of thousand races in karts.
Right.
Each,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And wow. World championships and this. So they're like, wow, these don't have any grip.
Right.
These don't have, you know, these are underpowered relatively. And I'm going, oh my God, I got four wheels. What am I supposed to do with it? So yeah, doing it again, you'd put more emphasis on the cutting.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, are there any regrets? And that may be the one, right? That maybe, I mean, your career turned out pretty good. I mean, you know, the transition from a race car driver to a television personality or host or whatever we call them today. I mean, was it an easy transition or was it because you know the sport and you know the hobby?
Well, Stuart, you just wiped out my entire racing career and jumped to the TV.
We're going to go back. We're going to go back to the
25 years. We're going to be over it. What do you want?
That was
the shortest podcast.
That was page two. I jumped ahead a little bit.
Yeah, you did. That was page two, maybe 2.5. No, it was. I like the phases, I think, of life. I think it's great to have different phases. And I was always the talkative one, you know. I was always speed channel East, you know, good old days of speed, you know, right. when life was good like that. We, you know, they'd in so much car content, such great interviews, such a great platform for racing. And I would get, I was a good interviewee, you know, in the middle of the night at Le Mans. I wouldn't like tell them to shove off because I'm tired. I'd talk for 20 minutes, you know, so you do that. You become, now I've been in the other seat as the interviewer. You gravitate to the guys that give you good feedback, give you good answers, because you also want your job to be good. So I say that to a lot of young drivers, you know, be friendly to those TV guys, you know, because they can really help you.
Sure.
And so anyway, I got noticed for being a good talker on the receiving end. So when the chance came, which I can talk about later, you know, I jumped in.
Well, and I mean, racing, you know, back to the motocross. I mean, I tried my hand. I was great on a motorcycle around the neighborhood, but get on a motocross track and it was a whole different kind of animal. I'm sure that racing on a track, you know, it's like sim racing. You know, you can be good at it because there's no threat of danger. You know, I guess you could fall out of the chair or something, but, it's interesting that when you don't have that fear, that danger factor, it kind of changes the whole dynamic of it, right?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that is something on which I have quite a few opinions. There's nothing like lining up with 40 other kids your age on a start line in motocross. Remember, it's one of the only forms of motorsport where you would do that,
right?
You know, you're not like grid positions. Right. You are pulled a number and you got 35, 40 bikes heading for like a 6-foot gap at the end of a field, you know, and all with barely formed brains.
Right.
So, you know, it was really perfect to launch your way. Made sure you got good at starts. I've always been good at standing starts.
Yeah, that's for that reason. Yeah, that's a good thing to be. Can you imagine if they did an F1 race like that where they all lined up straight across and had
they can't even make it 2x2. I mean, they wouldn't have got on. If the Formula One guys had to get on the arc, there'd be like three guys making it. The others would be in the water either side.
Exactly. You know? It sure is nice to see some diversity in the winner's circle. This year with Formula One, or Parc Fermé, as they call it. It's been nice to see that because it was getting a little boring, and especially right when the U.S. audience was really, you know, throttling up on it, and all of a sudden now we've got some different winners. It's great.
Yeah. It's amazing. There's so much to unpack there, but let me just go back to the bit about the sim stuff.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when I would go to a new racetrack and every track was new to all of us, everywhere we went, you know, in Formula Ford, you go from Snetterton to Brands Hatch to Donington to Alton Park. There's all the British races. And then the next year, you're trying to do this new series that came out called Vauxhall Lotus, which ended up having everyone in it over the next 5 years. You go to Jerez in Spain, you go to, Nutsop in Sweden and Zandvoort, and you do all these tracks. But the only way you get to know them is no videos,
right?
No GoPros of everybody, no sitting there on your laptop looking, no sim. You'd get on your bike, you'd borrow a bicycle, but you'd walk or run the circuit,
right?
And you'd look at the curbs and that's all you did.
Right.
So, some of us were better than others at going out with a 30-minute practice session on a track you'd never seen before. And then we were the support race actually in my second year to the Formula One races in Europe, which was so fun.
Oh, I bet.
But you get no track time, maybe 20 minutes, twice.
Seems a little dangerous.
Seems a little dangerous. So we're all committing heavily to learning the tracks. Now they've done thousands of laps.
Yeah.
Sitting where I am right now, right. I don't even have to get out of my seat and could do 100 laps of Nürburgring today, couldn't I, if I had the sim. So it's created so much more awareness, and I think these kids are getting better and better.
Right.
Like in every single sport,
right?
Something has happened whether it's, I'm sure Sean White even looks and goes, what are these kids doing?
Yeah,
I'm sure Tony Hawk goes, how are they doing that? I mean, it's like social media and everything is pushing these kids to do things that I don't think we could have even imagined. Sure. So in racing terms, they come out to hit their first car race so fully formed. They're like little pros, mm-hmm. all of them. And they still got to have that basic talent though, Stuart. The difference is there's more of them that are really good.
Right.
It doesn't mean there's going to be more of them that are really great.
Right. Because it also requires communicating with your team about what's happening out on the track. And even though they have all the computers in the world, they still want to know what your feel is. And on a sim race, like you said, feeling traction, on a sim race, you don't feel that the rear end breaking out and things like that. Look at
No.
Like this.
Yeah. That's exactly it, Stuart. I mean, if I was a young driver, I'd say watch Stuart's body movements.
Right.
That's what a racing driver looks like.
Yeah.
I'll do that. That was really good.
That's a new move.
If you were a boxer, if anyone's listening to this, he's moving side to side, which means if very slowly, he's obviously not a boxer either. There you are.
I'm neither.
There you are.
Thank you.
Well, nor am I. I mean, certainly not a boxer. Sure. So I think these kids, this sim racing has been wild, for learning tracks, learning the steering wheels.
Just
look at a Formula One track.
Look at
a Formula One driver. We basically had enough time. I had enough mental capacity, bandwidth to be able to change the brake balance.
Right.
That would be about it. And all the roll bar settings, they're steering wheels. And I've held one in my hand. You've got all those different controls, which have multi-level controls within them.
Right.
And that's the speeds they're going at. They can't look down.
Yeah.
So that's where the sim will be a huge thing, right? You can do hundreds of reps learning the sim. So I think it's amazing. But at the top level, who become a Raikkonen or a Vettel or whoever, they would have made it anyway.
I think so. You're absolutely right. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with our friend Justin Bell.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Listen on this station and wherever you get your podcasts, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Deezer, Listen Notes, Pandora, Player FM, Pocket Casts, Podcast Addict, Podcast Index, Podchaser, Spotify, and, of course, ClassicAutoMall.com.
Hi, I'm Joe DeLapp. I've been on the National Fundraising Board at St. Jude for 20 years. On September 28th, we're holding our Walk Run fundraiser to help the sick kids at St. Jude. Go online to stjude.org/walkrun. That's stjude.org/walkrun. And look for St. Jude Walk Run in your area. Or if you'd like, you can join my fundraiser supporting the Walk Run this year. You can go to walkrun.stjude.org/delap. That's D-E-L-A-P-P. That's walkrun.stjude.org/delap. Thank you.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show at ClassicAutoMall.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can watch us at YouTube.com/ClassicAutoMall.
Come visit us at Classic Auto Mall. See our website for hours and location.
ClassicAutoMall.com. Continuing our conversation with Justin Bell, our friend and race car driver and television host and race motocross we talked about. Tell me about the FIA GT2 championship. What was that, 1997?
I think the 7 was the championship, 8 was the Le Mans win.
Le Mans win in the Chrysler Viper.
Mm-hmm. An amazing time. You know, I just come off the back of 95 in the Harrods and McLaren with my dad finishing third on Father's Day at Le Mans, led for 12 hours in the rain. I mean, my God, it could have won it overall. We had a clutch release bearing when it dried out, but still on the podium with my dad. Amazing.
How cool.
And, then I got, my buddy James, who was my manager, James Guest in England, school boyfriends,
right.
And he loved racing. So he helped me out. And he heard about this, new Dodge, this Chrysler Viper program. The Viper had just come out. I actually raced one in 94 at Le Mans, which was a rent car Viper, this, with René Arnoux.
Wow.
The French, ex-French Formula One driver.
Sure.
And the car was basically a road car, roll cage stuck in it, taken to Le Mans, lifting the front end up at, you know, 200 miles an hour. It was not really prepared,
right.
But anyway, very, very cool experience. Then the Viper program, that was a world class program that, if you can hear anything, that's my, was called a Peter Bald cat, which is meowing for its food, which I have put down to stop it ruining my podcast.
We had Luigi Canetti Jr. on a couple of weeks ago, and we could see his wife doing the dishes in the background.
Well, I was hoping mine wasn't going to. It's better than the bathroom, right?
Right.
So yeah, Chrysler, to be part of a program where Chrysler were attacking a world championship for the first time with this collaboration with Orica, with Hugh de Schoenaerck in the south of France, at Paul Ricard, Le Castellet, their base right there. And I just couldn't believe it. It was just so amazing to see, to be part of this movement, this initiative, this car, you know, the Viper came out as, you know, whether as polarizing as it was,
right.
You know, you either loved it or you hated it, but it became an instant cult.
Absolutely.
Viper people. I mean, Corvettes have been doing it for 50 years. The Viper came out and everyone was like, you know, the other half of the room, it's like politics. The other half of the room thought it was just the most incredible car.
Sure.
But our race car was incredible.
Right.
It was dedicated, but it was so fast, you know, and we won everything. That's never a bad thing, is
no,
it? You know,
no.
And so we kind of dominated. I drove with some amazing drivers. But I was in the second car. I was in the B car, so to speak. And I was there because Chrysler UK were very enthusiastic about having a British driver in, and they had to put money in.
Sure.
You know, so they thought we must have a British driver. That was me. But the number one car, Olivier Beretta and Philippe Gache, they were, I mean, Olivier had done Formula One. I mean, he was arguably much faster than I was, like, qualifying. But they were the dominant one. We were second. If they won, we were second. Right. If they didn't win, we won.
Right.
But along the way, my car was a bit of a test mule in a way. They would try stuff on it, which often worked. They would throw different drivers in with me, David Donahue, Tommy Archer. They'd just keep putting these different drivers in. But I kept on getting great results right. with these guys. So we come down to the season finale at Laguna Seca. And to win the manufacturer's championship, which, as you know, is all any car company cares about, I had to win the race.
Oh man.
I had to beat the Porsche, which means I had to beat my teammates, which meant they all had to help me. My teammates had to ensure
right.
that I won to make sure Chrysler won the championship against Porsche, which meant I won the world championship wow. as the driver. So
no pressure,
but I
there,
won it
though.
On my own.
Right.
I won it on my own. I didn't have a teammate like they would have done. So I became the first world champion for Chrysler ever, you know, right. and that was so fun. At the end of that year, we went to the Rensen with the car
nice.
And, I went down a corridor and they had me in the car, Bob Lutz, the whole board, everybody in this central atrium.
Right.
And on cue, I lit up the tire. You know, I wasn't supposed to light up the tire,
right.
but I wheel span it through the, you know, with wheel spin down the middle of
nice.
The Rensen, smoke everywhere on their vinyl floor. And then I went to hit the brakes. Cold carbon brakes and my foot is like shaking. I'm sure I've still got ligament damage this day as I'm heading towards Bob Lutz and the board, you know, maybe only at 15 miles an hour.
Enough to do damage.
It would have made an impact.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was.
We'd still be talking about it today, right?
We would. So anyway,
you'd be like, this though with some kind of yeah. bars. Oh my God.
So anyway, such a fun memory. And the next year we went and the same way we won Le Mans. David Donahue, Luca Drudi, and I.
And was it just sheer brute force that this thing won it, or was it just a great over? I mean, what was the strong suit? The engine, the suspension?
Oh, the engine, obviously.
Right.
But the engine, when you have an engine that heavy at the front there, it comes with its own set of, you know, sure. physics, I guess,
right.
to say, handling characteristics. But, you know, we were running on Michelins. Michelin were really emerging as the dominant tire. And it was actually fabulous to drive in every way. It handled amazingly well as well. So I had four great years there. I mean, really, it was quite spectacular.
And that engine was set back a little bit, a la like the Cobras, right? So you kind of had a little cant to it when you had your legs down in the
footwell. Oh, that's the trouble. You drive a Viper, you end up coming out, you know,
right.
your legs point this way, your hips go that way. Then we had a manual. It was a manual gearbox the first couple of years.
Right.
And to get fifth to sixth, it, you know, wants to pull across to fourth.
Right.
So you kind of on the Mulsanne, especially when you're getting tight, you had to put your hand backwards and push against it because you don't want a fifth to fourth at 185 miles an
yeah,
hour.
Yeah. You don't want to go backwards. That's like the paddle shifter. Sometimes I'm like, am I up? Is that up? Is left up and down?
Well, yeah. That's just an age thing, Stuart. That's not supposed to be difficult.
Well, I know it's,
but you know, the paddle. Oh, you're right. If you're on a racetrack
right.
or you're drifting or having some fun and suddenly the paddles are upside down, I do the same thing. Or I'm in the parking lot and I go, I want to go. And then I want to do something stupid like raise the volume.
Yeah.
Right? And then next thing is I'm changing. Anyway.
Well, it's
that's
like,
why,
yeah, it's like,
that's where Sims are coming good with. We need a Sim, Stuart, just to get to the mall.
I think so. That would be great. You know, it's like shifters in a car now. Used to be you didn't have to look either. If it was on the column or it was in the center, you knew where you were relative to what gear you were in. Now they have a round knob or a little thing, a button you put, and you can't remember which car you're in. And, So my favorite shifter is the gated shifter, a la like your dad's Maranello 550 with the three pedal.
I know.
You know, that's a great car. And that video of you and him on his 75th birthday riding through the country roads and going to Goodwood. That was great. That was so cool. And he seems to be such a humble guy who had such a, you know, an amazing career. I mean, it's just, it was really fun to hear him talk and his point of view.
Yeah, no, and Dad really is, you know, I'm he's my hero. I mean, sure. I am very fortunate to have a father who ticked the boxes, you know, as a career inspiration and a role model and a great dad. I mean, he was a really good dad. It's old school discipline. I'm not quite so good at that with my kids, but you know, it's a generational thing, right?
Yep. I'm with you on that.
But anyway, he was amazing. And he and I we just completed a little, it's the trailer, the little teaser is on YouTube and it was on social media, I think. With McLaren, this year was the 20, there's the cat in the background.
That's it.
29 years since McLaren since we were at Le Mans.
Wow.
And, you'd say the 30th would be a nicer round number, but Zac Brown, and United Autosports with Richard Dean, they went this year as a factory team, for the first time back there. So building up for a big year next year.
Sure.
So, the marketing guys thought, what a fun thing for Dad and I to do a road trip from MTC, McLaren Technology Center, you know, to Le Mans, and we did it in an Artura and, McLaren Artura. And it's going to be like a 12-minute, 16-minute thing, but it captured all the emotion of the conversations we had. And, and I'm very proud of it. So that'll be, you know, something to look out for.
Absolutely. We, and the video, first of all, the most iconic 960 or the most iconic to me, probably Porsche was the Löwenbräu 962, but the video of you in it, as we were talking earlier about the knobs on the steering wheel and all that. Yeah. There's a lot of buttons on there, but there was some crazy stuff in there. I mean, the video that you did sitting in that car with adjusting the boost and all these things, it's like these were mechanical things. These weren't little buttons that clicked on and off. These were brute force, change the suspension.
And Dad'll talk about, you know, being at Le Mans in the Porsches where in the fuel economy era, there were no digital readouts for them.
Right.
There was a digital readout that said what you were doing fuel liters per lap at that point.
Right.
But he had to look down at a printed out, stuck on bar graph on the dashboard, which would tell you, you know, if you were using the digital readout, you'd relate to what's on the graph to know if you were high or low in your fuel consumption at that point on the lap.
Wow.
Now at 56, I can't even see the dashboard, but you know, nor could my father, you know, but back then, that's what he used to do. So yeah, times have moved on. Technology is absolutely amazing. I don't feel as Jed, it's interesting. This is something we could, you know, and for another show.
Sure.
But technology doesn't necessarily mean better spectacle in any form of anything we do. You know, do the fans care at Indy? What's the technology? They just want the cars to go 230 miles.
And sound cool. Sound cool. That's the problem.
Sound cool.
You know, Harry Hurst has a thing called Glory Days of Racing on Facebook. And what makes the Glory Days of Racing? I say, first of all, there's characters back then. They're not quite characters this year. Oscar Piastri, although he's very cool as a cucumber, he's not, you know, Mario Andretti or AJ Foyt or somebody like that. And so, you know, it's a different, I don't know. It's different, I guess.
Well, the biggest reason for that, I think, because believe me, those drivers behind closed doors are just the same deviants that everyone has been generation. Of course, there's not many James Hunts left.
No.
You know, there's not.
Or the picture of your dad standing next to Steve McQueen, both of their shirts off. Jeez, that wouldn't happen at my house.
No, it's just very different. But at the same time, social media has created a pressure for these guys.
Sure.
I mean, we could chase girls all around the world and they wouldn't know who we were and we wouldn't know who they were. Now we're basically connected as a couple on Facebook.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you just met her.
Just said
so
hello.
I think it's changed everything.
When we return, if you've got a chance for one more segment with us, we'd love to keep you on and continue this. If you have a few minutes.
Yeah.
All right.
The Classic Auto Mall is like going to the greatest indoor car showroom in the country. With more than 1,000 classic and collectible vehicles for sale via consignment in our 8-acre climate-controlled showroom, we've got something for everyone. We're open to the public most days. Plus, you can easily search our inventory online at classicautomall.com. Buying and selling via consignment is safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and and ship worldwide. Find your dream classic vehicle at ClassicAutoMall.com.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
Call J.C. Taylor today for a competitive quote on collector car insurance. Give your most prized possessions the attention that they deserve. You'll receive agreed value coverage, giving you the peace of mind to know you're always protected. J.C. Taylor has been supporting the hobby with reliable service that has lasted for six decades. Call 888-ANTIQUE or visit jctaylor.com/awr to get a quote today. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio with our friend Justin Bell joining us from the West Coast or Left Coast or Third Coast or whatever they call it. Anyway, how are you this morning? Is everything good out there? The weather's good?
Well, it's a little dull weather-wise, which is unusual. But right. And I haven't even had a coffee, Stuart. So you or a cup of tea. I don't even know. My girlfriend's going to come down in a minute and make one, but she doesn't want to appear in that window behind me. So yeah, I don't want to bust the show open.
No.
It'll get you more ratings. I'll tell you that. Coffee the minute we go off air.
So I've been your caffeine this morning, I guess, is the way we
do it.
But I'll have to say I'm Justin Bell's caffeine. So, and of course, when you do events like the Pebble Beach Concours, you really need caffeine because you're up at the crack of whatever dawn is. It's 5 a.m. or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up because for me, my favorite weekend of the year in
Absolutely.
So many ways because it's, you know, it's been around so long. Sandra and Martin Button have really, you know, brought me on board and my company with Tommy Kendall and Jason Jacobson, Talk Media. We went from the IMSA stuff, COVID lockdown, didn't know what to do, saw the opportunity with Pebble, and now we produce their whole live stream and host it. But it's more than that. We're involved. It's a family and we're going out there for a big meeting, recap meeting next month. But the Haggerty Dawn Patrols, you know, that's something, that's a commitment.
Yeah.
And, I work with Haggerty. I love those guys, but that was an idea that's created a commitment that most of us don't want to do now.
Yeah, it's got to cut my party in short on Saturday night.
Yeah. But actually the reality is, I am very, very fortunate. I have one of the rooms right there on the ground floor.
Yeah.
So as I said, when Milani, my girlfriend, came the first time like 4 years ago and I said, we have to get up for Dawn Patrol because we're never going to be this close.
Right. Exactly.
So if we can't make that 50-foot walk, it's not. But you know, just the rest of the day being a part of that is the event that propelled me into this world that you live in.
Sure.
Of classic vintage cars, people that curate cars and perpetuate this amazing world.
Absolutely.
You know, continuing to tell the stories. For me, the cars are one thing. The story of every single vintage car, you look at it and you go, the journey you've made to come to survive a Rolls Royce that was in Prussia that made its way and now went to South Africa and you go, I mean, that's sort of mind boggling. You survived world wars.
Yeah. 540K Mercedes that somehow survived in bunkers
it makes me, I've got tingles now on my arm and I find it amazing, but. So I love it. I love the people involved and thanks to becoming really a part of the biggest car event in the world.
Absolutely.
It's helped us get involved in so many other things. And you mentioned Chattanooga. We mm-hmm. were involved there the last three years, Tommy, Jason, and I. And then we were involved in the first year at Audrain, and it was sounds like we were involved at the start and then get kicked out. Kind of a theme.
You're a grand opening guy. It's like, okay, but you know,
I'm the fluffer of the Concours world. Just bring me along.
Damn, you heard it here first. See, we get exclusives all the time. You know,
exactly.
And I will tell you this though, and this is in all sincerity. I think your show that you do from the lawn is gotten better every year.
Yeah,
and this last one was really spot on. I think you found your formula. You know, I think making it about the cars, without being a cliche reference like Barrett Jackson does, where they talk about each car when it comes across. I think that's the most important. Yes, the personalities are important, and yes, the participants, it's fun to see that, but the cars are the stars, and you've made it that.
Yeah. Thank you. And you know, we were, listen, in the beginning, that's what, Pebble Beach, they wanted. They wanted to go that direction of us being more engaging the whole way through the show.
Right.
And then we listen to everybody and we're like, let's do an hour pre-show.
Right.
So now we do an hour pre-show, get to talk to everybody.
Perfect.
Jason, you know, came from NASCAR Productions and IMSA. So we produce it like a car. It's like every minute we're doing something.
Sure.
So I love it. And, you know, now I'm super involved in the Las Vegas Concours.
Oh, that's right. You know, yeah, at the Win.
My podcast, you know, Drive to Win, is filmed from their studio inside, it's an SXM studio inside the Win. And it's my second season, but it's my second Las Vegas Concours. And Stuart, within the next 3 years, it'll be one of the most important Concours in the world.
Well, it's the most beautiful golf course setting that you'll ever see, right? I mean, it's the place.
And rather like Pebble Beach, the only way I'll get on it is with four wheels, not with the wrong kind of driver.
Right. That's what Ron White, the comedian, said. He said he begged him to let him on there, and he said, "I'm going through, and nobody's stopping me." You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel that way often.
It's so, you know, I'm excited. It's on the 1st of November, so, you know, very limited attendance, a bit like the Quail.
Sure.
And, but really it's evolving into something special. I'm really excited. Very excited for that.
It looks like a great event, and it looks like something that will evolve. It's got all the makings for evolving into something. But, you know, back to your show and what you do, I like the fact that you do all types of different videos where it's more formal. You're sitting in the studio. You're doing stuff out on the road. I mean, the thing you did with Sterling Moss in, was that 2017 or 16?
Yeah.
And I love what you said about Sterling Moss, and I'll repeat it here because it's worth repeating. A man who raced Fangio, cheated death, betted beautiful maidens, and won the Mille Miglia. epitaph right there.
If you could have that written on your headstone, you wouldn't want more, would you?
Have no more. And he was so engaged when you all were discussing everything. And then you're driving in a 57 300 SL Roadster, which is such a cool car.
Yeah, where's my, here, look. Look at that.
I'll give you $100 for it.
Yeah, Justin, he says, Justin, these were the fun days.
Right.
Starting.
Oh,
yeah.
And the video of him driving the 300 SLR at Goodwood was just, talk about give you chills. I mean, this is maybe a stupid question, but were you a little nervous driving, Sir Sterling Moss in a car? Was that nerve-wracking?
Well, let's say 30 years before I would have been. I mean, he's a very dear family friend.
Sure.
So I had a relationship with him. I went to his house, and I've been to his house. I watched Formula One race there, and he made me a cup of tea as he wanders around in his, you know, it's just too much.
Oh.
It's just, you know, and Stuart, I think that's what I take home from this incredible life is I didn't become a Jeff Gordon or a David Coulthard, you know, David Coulthard's one of my contemporaries, my peers.
Sure.
Or Alan McNeish or Mick, or any of them or Tom Christensen. But I did find my way.
Yeah.
You know, I won some cool stuff. I realized early that when the moment came, I needed to make that jump and I knew I could do well in media. I wanted to be Jeff Gordon in media.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I wanted that I had that confidence if I could do it. And, you know, we're still finding our stride. I did a podcast called Life with Legends, which I only did like 20 of.
They were great, though.
A lot more now.
They were
great.
Thank you.
Because I'm talking to them like me, you know,
right,
and I'm
right.
one of them, whether it's Mario or whoever. And so I'm going to do more of those. And, you know, there's so many, it seems despite all the craziness in our world, there's one constant, and that seems to be our car world.
Yeah,
we, you know,
exactly.
It's the Peterson Gala this weekend,
right.
And going to be there with honoring Bruce Meyer. There's, you know, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
The guy that I want to come back. I told his wife, him, I'm coming back on his birthday video. I did it. You know, his son did a compilation.
Right.
And I went, Bruce, just to let you know, I'm, when I come back, I'll come back as you.
Right.
And,
do you have to get permission for that? Or is there some kind of form you fill out? Or you?
Well, I said, you might want to give your wife a heads up. And also I said, the reality is I want my car collection not to fit on the shelf.
Right. Yeah. It looks like my office too.
That's the difference between us. So, you know, it really some great stuff going on right now. And, you know, to see the historic racing and, I mean, I think it's crazy, but I've got to tell you, you brought up that Rothman, that Learn Brown 962, which is, run and maintained by Kevin Jeanette down there in Florida, Gunner Racing. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago. Dad and I must have been over 4 years ago. Dad and I did the historic 24 hour at Daytona in it.
Wow.
And we won and it wasn't hard for us to win. You know, you do like an hour every 6 hours or something, because that's how but it's super fun.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking to myself, you know, watching my dad at basically 80 at that point, driving, 78, 80 on the banking, 200 and something miles an hour.
Wow.
No compromise.
Right.
No, he was as fast as I was. And I'm going, now that's a real man.
That's a real man.
Know?
A man's man, as you like to say.
Yeah. And you know, he can't find the keys to the rental car, but boy, you stick him in you put him back in these cars. You see it with like Mario.
Right.
You see it with Emerson and they get in, you put them back in the environment in which they were so good. And
well, I mean, like Sir Jackie Stewart, who they say, you know, you had him on your legend show.
Yep.
They said that riding with him, you cannot tell the difference between acceleration and deceleration or just in a normal line. He is so smooth that there's no feeling of transition.
Amazing.
How the hell did he do that? So I got to beg the one question, the most important question I'm going to ask you today. What's your daily driver? And the more mundane, the better.
Well, I haven't, my daily driver is a black F-150. I embrace the Americana.
I like it.
But I'll tell you, I'm McLaren. I get to sit in a lot of those, but yesterday or 2 days ago, a BMW M8 competition turned up outside my house.
Oh.
And it is in this Louis Acquy green. I don't know. Is that, so I thought it's, let's just say the police are going to see me coming, but I think BMW with that car have absolutely nailed it. I think that design language is great. And yesterday as I screamed down Mulholland Drive, I thought I actually still, and this is what cars do to you. I let out a visceral shout. No one else around.
I'm with you.
And I just shouted, I love this car.
Woo!
No one's there to hear me. There's no cameras. And if a car can do that to you, that's my judge, really. That's how I judge a car.
Yeah. How about the new McLaren W1 that's coming out that's 2.6 million and 1,200 horsepower, and it's 2.6 or 2.8 million, and they're making 399, and they're all sold out. How many rich people are there? There was something hairless that
just that was the hairless cat that just took off.
You didn't warn me that it was hairless. You just said it was a cat.
Save all your jokes, boys. I've heard them all. I drove the Solus GT. There aren't many media that are qualified to drive it, making 24 of them or whatever.
Right.
McLaren invited me. Roger Ormishaw invited me from McLaren to go to COTA. They had Senna Formula One cars, Stephanie Johansson and Bruno Senna driving, you know, that car from, what was it, 88, whatever, when Senna won 12 of 14 races in that car. When they drove out, I tell you what, the sales of Viagra dropped because you did not need none of that. Went that the noise of that car was incredible, and I drove the Solus GT, the fastest thing I have ever driven.
Wow.
In my life. Canopy, 10,200 rev, Judd V8, 212 miles an hour down the back straight at Cotra or something, and right. I'm going they made something pretty special there. So isn't it amazing? These people have built the companies. Are defying convention
exactly.
and making cars that, yeah, the rare air
hybrid schmibrid. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, we're building it. We'll figure out a way. And that's what's cool. They're actually figuring out a way. I was so worried when I was about 16 that cars were just going to, you know, be mundane and terrible and you would never ever have a cool car ever again. And of course, my Trans Am of the day had 180 horsepower. So that's the, that's a Volkswagen Beetle now.
Exactly. It's the alternator on a Solus GT. I don't even know if it has one. You know, but yes, someone once said, didn't they? In the mid 1800s or something, everything that's invented has now been invented.
Yeah, nothing new is going to happen. This is it. Scientific American, I think, said that. Nothing new.
Look at Musk bringing that thing in yesterday. When that thing landed, I mean, unfortunately, because we're distracted right now by politics, but it was the physics, the sheer human success of that moment. We should not. Tommy TK wrote on this thing. Right. He's like, are we realizing how amazing this is?
A lot of people just say, well, that's real cool. You know, I mean, people just don't always get how cool something like that is and how, that just. Something that couldn't happen 20 years ago. Of course, our phones are the same way. We got face recognition and thumb recognition. And remember in a movie, that used to be like, you couldn't get into the 007 lair, without a face recognition thing. And now our phone will do it, you know?
Isn't it wild?
Oh, crazy. Thanks. Anyway, thank you so much for being on the show. We hope to do it again.
Thank you.
So we could do it again. We can, we'll do it to pre-promote anything you got. Just anytime you want to be on, just call in and we'll put you on.
Thank you very much. Well, everyone listening on Drive to Win, wherever you find your podcasts.
Absolutely.
I've got some great guests coming up in the next couple of weeks.
We'll be watching for it. Thanks again, Justin Bell, everybody. Thanks again, Justin.
As promised, here's the Pat Travers Band tour schedule for the remainder of 2024. If you're listening on the original air date of this show, October 19th, check out either Center Stage Theater or Red Stage in Fontana, California, both at 8 p.m. How can they be in two places at once? Because it's the Pat Travers Band. October 20th at the Canyon Agora Hills. And see them December 13th at the Funky Biscuit in Boca Raton. Now, more of the Classic Auto Mall Show with Steve Sefier and Stuart Howden.
Another fantastic guest.
Another great show.
We're so lucky.
Yeah, we are.
We are lucky. We can knock on wood. The people that we're getting on the show, it's like, nobody's stopping us. We were talking about the Wynn Golf Course. Check it out. Drive to Wynn, W-Y-N-N, is his podcast that he does about the Wynn Concours d'Elegance. And Vegas, you know, I mean, it's just, it's everything anymore.
I said, if you need a representative out there, I have a place to stay.
You got a free place to stay. And, you know, the one thing we didn't get to talk too much about on the show, which I was hoping we were going to get to talk about, is Al Hulbert.
Yeah.
Who your dad worked for.
Grew up with him.
Grew up with him.
Yeah, sure. My 6 degrees separation
between Justin and Derek
and everything. I met Justin at Greenwich this year and had a nice conversation about Al and the whole
thing. What a great guy.
Yep.
You know?
Super personality.
Yeah, he is the same kind of style that I am trying to achieve to be. Just kind of loose and fun, but always got good answers and just, you know, knows what he's talking about. And
I'm basically like Justin Bell without the racing career, the contacts, the articulation, the good look.
Other than that,
I'm exactly like.
I used to date a girl who just looked just like, you know, Farrah Fawcett, only her face was different. Different hair, and she was shorter. And, you know.
Just like her, though.
Just like her, you know. I had a car just like that, except mine was green and it was a four-door, and, you know, we get that.
Yeah, and Steve, you also don't have the British accent. Yeah.
That's right.
And the British accent is so cool. Yeah, it really is.
It really is.
We've had what is that, two in a row? Tim McGrain last week, and then Justin Bell. And
quite so.
Quite so. Yeah. Spot of tea, and he had no caffeine this morning. I thought that was impressive when I found out that he had no caffeine in him, and he was able to do that. But the Mexican hairless cat.
That thing scared the crap out of me.
I'm not sure what it was.
See that thing?
Yeah. How cool is that? So, where did we sell cars this past week, you ask?
Where?
Why? How about Marina, California? Not Marina Del Rey.
No.
Just Marina, California. Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Coon Rapids, Iowa, Conroe, Texas, Aston, Pennsylvania, Shelton, Connecticut, Poughkeepsie, Pennsylvania, Dallas, Texas, twice to there, Dallas, Texas, Lubbock, Texas, Spokane, Washington, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Scottsdale, Arizona, Hellertown, Pennsylvania, Short Hills, New Jersey.
Well, that's a good week.
Yeah, that wasn't a bad week. So we did well with that. And, you know, and we were talking with Justin Bell about the new McLaren W1, I mean, this new hypercar that they're coming out with is $399, $2.6 million, and they're sold out.
Wow.
What the heck? How many gazillionaires are there?
Well,
I
only got two of them, so I'm a little disappointed by that.
Well, thanks for hogging it. You know, that's one hundredth of a percent of all the allocated inventory.
You know, I mean, people get invited to purchase these things.
People
right?
buy cars and lose, people buy Ferraris and lose money on buying these Ferraris so they can get their pecking up in the pecking order to buy the one that they really, the La Ferrari
right.
or whatever it is, or they just sold Sammy Hager's
La Ferrari. I saw it.
$4.5 million. 5 million or something, which I think knew they were a million or something.
Yep.
Yeah. So, not a bad investment and got to enjoy it. He said it was too much car for him. He literally said that.
Really?
Yeah. Which is not salesman 101, you know.
I remember when he bought it, he did a whole video on them fitting the chair. Like, I don't know if he flew to Italy or whatever. But they actually fitted the chair to him. So the seat, not the chair. And
they had to replace the battery pack on it, though. It was going to be at the Scottsdale auction in Barrett Jackson in January.
Right.
And they had to pull it because the battery pack had something, and they had to send it back over to across the pond to fix that. And it was like, I don't know, $30,000 or something, or maybe more. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It probably more. $30,000 seems light when you. $4.5 million
yeah,
for a
right.
car. And it was interesting because it was the first time Barrett Jackson had done an auction in the fall in Scottsdale. So they've added another event within their own hometown, and it seemed to work swimmingly.
Yeah,
as they say.
Cars on the hoof scene this morning.
Yes.
Ferrari 308 GTS.
Well, there you go.
It was nice. And yesterday,
well,
Aston Martin Venture convertible.
Well,
gray over gray.
Gray over gray. That's a good color on those. Mm-hmm. Those Aston Martins look good. They're stealth-like when they're gray over gray.
Yeah.
So just got back from Chattanooga, as we were talking about with Justin Bell. And he didn't get to come this year because he was, I don't know, doing something else. But
sure.
Chattanooga was amazing. It was a Swallow, and I can't remember what year it was, which SS Swallow, which was one of the best in show.
Oh, wow.
Which is a precursor to the SS100 Jaguar. But I, Corky Coker had the most beautiful Asada Fraschini, like a 1927 that it was, I don't even know if it was judged in the Concours, but man, it was one of those ones you just go, oh, that ought to win.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that one ought to be the one. Huh. But some great Ferraris and great people, and had dinner with my friend Larry Cope, who is travels with Linda Vaughn, who's Miss Hurst and all that. We're going to have her on the show coming up. But had dinner with them, and she's hilarious. I mean, just so many stories and people that she knew in the hobby, and you know, from Mario Andretti to you name it. I mean, she knew everybody. And
I don't know how long she was active in the racing community, but she has created a career on those short period of time.
And she's sharp as a tack.
She is.
I mean, she has helped a lot of manufacturing companies that manufacture different, not just Hurst, who she was associated with for years, but other companies in their marketing and marketing ideas, and apparently just knows it so well. And she was, you know, we had a cool thing happen here on Saturday at Classic Automall, and I wasn't here, but Don Garlitz, Big Daddy Don Garlitz, was at the Simeone being honored, the Spirit of Competition Award this year.
I got to meet him. It was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And he shows up here with our buddy Bruce Larson, who's another world famous, drag racer. And of course, Don, Garlitz was the one who suggested and implemented moving the engines from front of the top fuel dragster to behind the driver, because every time the engine exploded, you lost a foot.
At least
a foot. Maybe a kneecap or even more.
Did he look at the our dragsters? I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. And he had a golf cart, and there was a great picture of him and Kathy. Kathy came over and let him in. I had no idea. She goes, I was going to hang with him. She goes, but I'd be expected to ask him certain questions, and I wouldn't even know what to ask.
Yeah, I could see them out there, and I wasn't sure who it was at first.
And then she said, and I'm not calling any guy Big Daddy. And I said, I don't blame you, honey. So she came over, let him in, got her picture made with him, and then we let them wander around, and they apparently really appreciate it. And he's as deaf as a stone, and I can't imagine why all these years. You know, he's 90s.
Yeah. It's just front
engines.
How did
that happen? Front engines.
Yeah. And then they moved it to the back. 90-something, maybe 93,
is he really?
I think he was.
Air protection, what's that? Yeah. You know, they didn't use
sissies?
That back then.
Sissies. I see people at Maple Grove in the stands with no ear protection, and they don't cover their ears when the car goes by. And I don't know how. I mean, that's loud.
Yeah,
he's gotta really do some damage.
He uses his voice to text on his phone.
Yeah,
and I told him that I'd seen him at US 30 outside of Chicago, and he went, "Yeah, it's still there." Of course, it's all weeds now.
Yeah, it's not quite raceable. But you know, it's one of those things that happens every time I'm gone is when the cool people show up. So maybe it's a sign.
Sometimes they show up and you will never know.
Well, you don't know them. I mean, we had, who was it?
That
we
the
had?
Band.
Oh, from Emerson Lakeham, or, the keyboard player, Rick Wakeman from Yes.
Yes.
And, he's even signed in. We made him sign in, and it's R. Wakeman at Wakeman Music. So I'm certain there's not another R. Wakeman at Wakeman Music out there. It had to be. And I don't think he was trying to get, like, you know, free swag for it.
Right.
You know, he just signed in and came on in and nobody noticed it. I'm looking at the sheet and I go, huh? Our way. Oh, yeah. It was this big long hair guy with a cape. I'm like, anytime a guy with a big long hair and a cape comes into our place, you get me. I don't care if it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I need to know this.
Yes.
Because people don't wear capes very often. If they do, they're probably somebody I'd like to talk to.
That's right.
And it would have been cool to have had Big Daddy Don Garlitz on our show. But maybe we can do that in the future.
Sure.
We have some connections.
Well, yeah, I mean, with we're getting A-plus guests, so word will get out.
Word will hopefully get out. Hershey was amazing. The weather was perfect.
It was, yeah.
It was nice to see that. The weather was perfect at all the last few events we've been to, Audrain and Hershey and St. Michael's and Chattanooga. And it's like, I was driving home Sunday from Chattanooga, 11-hour drive. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just exhausted. I need to do nothing for at least a couple of months.
Yeah.
And then I watch people that are just traveling around every, like we were talking about on the show, traveling around everywhere. And we are going to go see John Waite this weekend in Jim Thorpe, though. So, you know, I guess we're not going to settle down.
Where are you going, Jim Thorpe?
Jim Thorpe.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I've never been there.
Beautiful time of the year. Yeah. Perfect time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, the leaves are changing, and it's pretty if you're, you know, listening to this anytime soon. Find us on all your podcast sites, as we said earlier, and Drive to Win, WYNN, as Justin Bell's show. And he's got a bunch of great stuff, Justin Bell or J Bell TV or something on YouTube. I know Randy will find it and put it up for you, but check out his stuff. It's great. And when he was going to England on the airplane to meet his dad for the 75th birthday, he was filming some stuff with an iPhone, and he was in the bathroom of a Virgin Atlantic airplane going across the pond. And he's got his little, you know, those things that cover your eyes up on his head, and his hair's askew, and you can tell he's tired, and he's funny and, you know, in the moment. And he's really great at what he does. And it's, I'm going to start watching more of him so I can steal his good stuff.
Yeah, he's good.
And he liked my move. Like a race car driver.
If you're on
podcast, you're not seeing this cool.
Right. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Please.
Lots of videos.
We're just about over 5,000 subscribers.
Yep.
And don't forget to check us out on all those podcast sites. iHeartRadio, one of the biggest, and so many others.
Yep.
Absolutely. We're everywhere. We will be finishing up our run with America's Web Radio in a couple of weeks. We appreciate everything they've done. They certainly helped us get a good kickstart into this world, and gave us a lot of great advice. And
time to fly.
We're going to try the audio and video portion of it and really focus more on that because, you know, cars are so visual. So next week we'll catch you again with somebody on the show that I'm sure will be more interesting than me.
Nobody.
How could that possibly be? Anyway, thanks for joining us on the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Questions, answers, or comments? Write us at ClassicAutoMall.com. And if you want to talk about buying a classic car seen on our website, you're looking for a particular vehicle, or want to consign your classic for sale, write us at info@ClassicAutoMall.com or call and talk to a real live classic car specialist at 888-227-0914. That's 888-227-0914. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit pattravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.